What's this? What's this?
It's the bit before the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the bit before the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
This is the third time. I've told you. This is the bit before the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
What is wrong with you? Are you listening to me? It's the bit before the theme music. Goodness.
What is this?
Oh, my life. I've told you. This is the bit before the theme music. And now this is the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says he, my trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode, I don't know, of the Total Christmas Podcast. My name's Jack, your name's, tell me, what is it? That's right. First up, I just want to say I got a lovely email from my mate Scott Newman, our US correspondent and the host of Tinsel Tunes and the Christmas Morning Podcast. If you're not listening to Tinsel Tunes or the Christmas Morning Podcast, why aren't you listening to them? Go and listen to them after this one. We've been through this. And he sent me a great email saying that he sat in his recording booth and listened to my podcast on the speakers. So I just wanted, this is a special message to my mate Scott. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Here I am. Talking to you. Yeah. How you doing, mate? It's nice to be chatting to you. Hope you've been having a good week. Oh, I've got to do the interactive bit. I forgot it, didn't I? I'm going to do it now. Right, here we go. You ready? Hello, Scott. How you been? Oh, no, I'm just happy that you're listening to the show. Yeah. You take it easy. You enjoy yourself. And scene. That really only works if your name's Scott, so really I was just talking to Scott. Anyway, I had a lovely email from our American Scandinavian correspondent, Benji Pearson, about the chocolate letters we talked about last week. If you remember, I was saying that originally it started off as they were made out of bread, and then they evolved to be made out of chocolate. And that's why you get your chocolate letters if you're in the Netherlands. Well, Benji sent this. He said, as you were talking about St. Nicholas Day being nearly as big as Christmas in the Netherlands, I couldn't help but think about how similar St. Lucia Day is in Sweden. St. Lucia Day is December the 13th. And he's right there. It's really interesting because in Sweden, St. Lucia Day is a real big part of the Christmas festivities. And I was listening to a really interesting audiobook the other day, and it was talking about how St. Nicholas is part of Christmas, mainly because his day, now the Saint's Day comes from the day of the death of the saint. That's when their day is. And St. Nicholas's Day was so close to Christmas, and that's why St. Nicholas is part of the Christmas festivities. And if his Saint's Day had been in like June, then he probably wouldn't be a part of Christmas. Anyway, Benji's put, St. Lucia morning in our house includes Lucia, my daughter Kristen, waking up the household with a candlelit wreath and a tray of Lucia buns. When the kids were little, we started making specialised Lucia buns in the shape of the first letters of their names. And he's put, I loved how you mentioned that in the chocolate versions, the I and the M have the same weight. Our struggle has always been to make a J as big and fancy as the K or the H. So there you are. And yeah, the whole St. Lucia wreath thing, I have talked about this previously, I think possibly on the episode where I talked about Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree, which starred Robert Downey Jr. and Stockard Channing, because in that, Stockard Channing's character was Swedish, and she was wearing like the Christmas wreath, and it's like a wreath that goes around the head with candles on it. Yeah, and I really like that. I like the idea of the buns in the shape of letters. My buns are in the shape of a B. Buns. I'm talking about my buttocks. I've had an email from Barry Grapefruit. It says, Dear Jack, I decided to check in on your podcast again. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought your podcast was supposed to be about Christmas. Perhaps you could explain to me while you spent nearly the whole episode discussing previous England World Cup songs in the last episode. It wasn't the whole episode. He is right, of course. He's always right. That's why I hate him so much. Yes, Barry, I did talk about the World Cup songs because I was talking about a band. I shouldn't have. I look back on it now. I thought it was interesting. I'm guessing you didn't, Barry. I don't know what the other listeners thought, but that's what I talked about. mistakes were made, can we just move on? He's also put, you'll be pleased to hear that the uptake for my planned convention for Total Christmas podcast listeners is exactly as expected. I haven't heard from anyone. However, the convention will still be going ahead. This is quite interesting. However, the convention will still be going ahead. I look forward to spending some quality time on my own in a broom closet. So, yeah, that's the Total Christmas podcast convention that's everyone's talking about. One other thing, actually, before we move on, you don't care about this, but my old laptop was falling apart, and literally falling apart. It was like, it was working fine, but the casing, everything was coming apart. It's like, well, I've got to get a new one then. So I've had it for like 6 years, so I don't care. Bought a new laptop, right? But that means I've got to get the new Audacity. And if you don't know what Audacity is, it's a program that I use for editing the podcast together. So I had to get the new Audacity on my computer. I've done that, and I'm not enjoying it. I'm having trouble finding out where all the stuff is. Maybe after a couple of weeks, I'll be finding it a bit easier. But right now, I'm not enjoying it. I'll be interested if the sound is any different, because I've already recorded the girls' podcast, their latest episode, on the new Audacity, and I think it sounded a little bit clearer. I could be wrong, but, you know, I think there was less background noise. So anyway, that's by the by. Now we can move on, and let's get the show rolling with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It's the first segment from our self-appointed podcast barman, Bob Baker, and this one's really cool. He's talking about the word flat. Here we go.
Always follow your heart. It generally leads to a bar. So I am watching this year's Oscars when Michelle Yeoh wins Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, the audience is thinking about her breakout performance as Evelyn Kwan Wong, the laundromat owner in the movie. But for me, I'm thinking of Santa, the store owner in Last Christmas. And no, I don't mean some holiday wham video. I am talking about the 2019 film with Emilia Clarke that nobody seemed to like but me. It was kind of like Sixth Sense meets a Hallmark Christmas movie. But for Do You Hear What I Hear? There is a pivotal scene where Amelia is told that her mystery boyfriend is selling his flat. Now, with my American hat on, I could wonder, why is he selling a ruptured tire? Because when we say flat, we mean what happens when you drive over a nail, or, in less polite company, a not-so-buxom woman. What we don't use flat for is an apartment. So why is it used in the UK? It comes from the Scottish word flat, which means the interior of a house. This term is itself derived from Old English, going back to the 1300s, when flat was used to mean a dwelling. If you think about it, it also describes how multi-units in a building are only one level, so they are flat. The more interesting question might be, since the word flat is English in origin, but the term apartment comes from Italian, why do we Americans say apartment? Capisce? Cheers and happy Christmas.
You know, I think the wife and I both really enjoyed Last Christmas. Yeah, I think I thought it was actually quite good. Yeah, well, I remember it, and I watch a lot of Christmas films, so yeah, I did like it. So yeah, to be honest, maybe I should have said spoiler alert there, or Bob could have said spoiler alert, because I think he gave away a bit of the plot there. Maybe I shouldn't have said this. Maybe I'm drawing attention to it. So yeah, if you haven't seen the film Last Christmas, forget everything Bob just said, but obviously apart from the bit where he told you what flat means and why we call a flat, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for that, Bob. He'll be back again in a little bit. But right now, we're going to do this. Oh, this is a bit early in the show, isn't it? Hey, this is right at the start. Only the second segment, and I'm already spoiling you with the awful joke. Okay, I don't have to remind you this, but the jokes I'm getting at the moment are coming from the present my wife bought me. It's a loo roll with all the jokes printed on, Christmas jokes printed on it. And this episode's joke is almost as good as the previous ones, which have all been awful. I don't even want to tell you it. I'm going to do it, but I don't want to. Just This is one of those things. I feel like I'm doing it under duress, but I am gonna. I'm gonna do this. Okay, this is gonna happen. At the moment, I'm stalling. Can you tell that I'm stalling? Do you want? I know you don't want to hear the joke. Can we just pretend I told you it and move on? No. Do you know what? After I've told you the joke, you'll be like, I wish we hadn't bothered. I wish we had just skipped to the end and moved on. I'm doing it. Here it comes. Right, I'm doing it. Deep breath. Oh, goodness. Right. What do you call a snow... No, that's not it. Where does a snowman keep his money? In a snowbank. Happy now? We could have avoided this, but you made me do it. I'm off to wipe my backside. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Oh, kids, out of the frying pan, into the fire. I know how much you hate the joke, but now you've got to hate the quiz. So, I'm going to ask you 10 questions, then I'm going to give you 10 answers, then we're going to do the next segment. Are you ready for question number one? Because it's coming right after the end of this sentence. What type of drink is Black Sheep Blitzen, the taste of which the makers describe as Christmas cake in a glass? To be honest, I would have thought, right, if you want Christmas cake in a glass, just get some Christmas cake and put it in a glass. That's Christmas cake in a glass, isn't it? That is literally Christmas cake in a glass. What they're talking about is, well, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a beverage. Okay, that was question number one. How'd you get on? I don't care. I'm doing question number two. Who wrote the song Do They Know It's Christmas? Question number three. Which blind Italian tenor had a hit album in 2009 called My Christmas, which featured a duet with Mary J. Blige on the song What Child Is This? Whom was that man? Question number... The Christmas Lunch Incident was the 1996 Christmas Day episode of which TV sitcom that sees the program's title character have four lunches, one of which included a Brussels sprout eating contest. What was that TV show? I'll give you a clue. It was a British TV show. Okay, this one is true or false. You tell me. One of the symbols on the flag of the Republic of Kiribati, which includes Kiriti Mati, which is Christmas Island, one of the symbols on their flag is a Christmas tree. Is that true or is it false? Have they got a Christmas tree on their flag? Little Christmas tree there. Look at that. The little star at the top. Yeah, baubles all over it. I don't know. It's a Christmas tree. Is it on the flag or not? Where is it? You tell me. Question whatever. What is the name of the little girl played in all film versions of Miracle on 34th Street? I just want her first name, okay? Question something or other. Which brother and sister act had a hit single in 1990 with Merry Christmas Darling? And I can tell you, no one. None. There was no brother and sister act having a hit single in 1990 with Merry Christmas Darling, because this crappy book has got it completely wrong. 1970, I think, and in the UK, 1971. What is wrong? What does it take? Did anyone even bother looking at this book before they blooming printed it? Anyway, right, next one. Easy one. In the film A Muppet Christmas Carol, which Muppet played Tiny Tim? Now, it gives you three options there. I'm not giving you those three options. I reckon you should know this one. Who played Tiny Tim? Question. Oh, this is number nine. Okay. Which US animated TV character once said, "Aren't we forgetting the true meaning of Christmas? You know, the birth of Santa." And question number 10. These are lyrics from which song? Right. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Now there's a clue in there somewhere. Okay. There's a clue in that song to what the title of the song is. Goodness me. Right, that was your 10 questions. Okay, are you ready for your 10 answers? I always ask if you're ready and I never care. Here it comes. Okay, now this is... Do you want me to tell you what I scored? Do you want me to tell you now what I scored? Or do you want me to tell you at the end what I scored? At the end? Okay, I'll tell you at the end then. Okay, you ready? Question number one. What type of drink is Black Sheep Blitzen, the taste of which the makers describe as Christmas cake in a glass? I'm still annoyed about that, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? Why? The thing is, if they say it tastes like Christmas cake, well, that's a lie, isn't it? It's the same as Christmas. But don't they just say it's the taste of Christmas in a glass? Mind you, I haven't tasted it. Maybe it does taste like Christmas cake. Anyway, can we move? I'll just tell you what it is. It's beer. It's a type of beer. It's an ale. It's a real ale. Okay, question number two. Who wrote the song Do They Know It's Christmas? That was Bob Geldof and Midge Ure. Okay, got that? Yeah. Right. Who's the blind Italian tenor who had a hit album in 2009 called My Christmas, featuring a duet with Mary J. Blige on the song What Child Is This? That was Andrea Bocelli. Now, I didn't know it was a woman. If I'd known it was a lady, Andrea, then I would have guessed Andrea Bocelli, but I thought it was a man. See what I did there? So I'm being really funny. Okay, question something or other. The Christmas Lunch Incident was the 1996 Christmas Day episode of which TV sitcom that sees the programme's title character have four lunches, one of which included a Brussels sprout eating contest? That was The Vicar of Dibley. Now, I know The Vicar of Dibley has made it overseas. That's why I included that one. But also, that episode has been covered on Merry Britsmas podcast. If you're not listening to Merry Britsmas, you should be listening to Merry Britsmas. The young man, Adam, does a fine job there. But I think I've mentioned that in the podcast as well. Or maybe Bob Baker mentioned it in an episode. Anyway, that was The Vicar of Dibley. Question number something. Right, here's one for you. That flag, right, of Kiribati, which includes... Okay, because it's the Republic of Kiribati. It's a number of islands, right? It includes Kiritimati, which is Christmas Island. Have they got a little Christmas tree on their flag? Have they? No. No, they haven't. And I won't lie to you, kids. They fooled me with that one. I'm not happy. Wait. Here. What's the name of that girl in all the versions of Miracle on 34th Street? Susan, is it? Oh, okay. Cheers. Do you like the way I delivered that one? Yeah. Okay, next one. What's up? Oh, yeah. Which brother and sister act had a hit single in 1990 with Merry Christmas Darling? We've established that there was no brother and sister act having hit singles with Merry Christmas Darling in 1990. It was 1970, and it was, of course, The Carpenters. Yes, it was The Carpenters. Should I make a joke about how they'd finished making a table, and then they put the skirting board in, and then they recorded a song, and then they carried on sawing and hammering at some wood because they're carpenters? That was the joke. It's a bad joke, but I feel it sort of lifts the mood a little bit. Okay, where was I? Question number something. In the film A Muppet Christmas Carol, which Muppet played Tiny Tim? If you haven't got it, I'm going to give you the three answers, okay? But if you get it off these three answers, these three options, you still don't get the point. I'm just helping you. Is it Beaker? Is it Robin the Frog? Or is it Rizzo the Rat? It was Robin, Kermit's nephew. But in that, he played his son. Okay, number nine. Which US animated TV character once said,
"Aren't we forgetting the true meaning of this day? The birth of Santa?"
That was Bart Simpson. And the final one. These are lyrics from... Oh, my life. These are lyrics from which song? Right? Which song could these lyrics have come from? Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said, Mary's boy child... Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. Any ideas? Has anybody out there got the slightest idea? Of course it was Mary's boy child. Right, I'll tell you what I scored. I scored 6. Yeah, I can't believe that I didn't put beer for the first one. I just thought Christmas cake in a glass was actually Christmas cake put through a blender and they poured it into it, but I was wrong. For my sins, I forgot that Susan was the name of the little girl in Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, I'm kicking myself about that one. And I thought there was a Christmas tree on the flag. And I forgot Andrea Bocelli's name. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, I hope you had a wonderful time with the quiz. Shall we move on? Damn right we will. Let's do this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Before I get into this episode's Christmas Not So Classic, I want to start by stating, loud and proud, I love Neil Diamond. I think his music is fantastic. I'm a huge fan of a lot of his songs. I love Sweet Caroline, of course. I love I Am, I Said. Possibly my favourite song of his is Brother Love's Travelling Salvation Show. I've got to start also by saying this song, I actually quite like the song, but it was tainted because when I first found it, I watched the video. So the first time I heard it, I was watching it as well, and the video really did not impress me. Goodness. So if you're not familiar with Neil Diamond, he's been going for decades. He was born in 1941 and his career started as a singer and songwriter in like the mid to late 60s. He had a lot of hits as a songwriter before he had hits as an artist. One of his biggest was I'm a Believer, which was sung by the Monkees. As a solo artist, he's had 10 number ones in the US. And he's sold 130 million records worldwide. 130 million. He's one of the most successful artists of all time. He was also an actor in one film. He was in The Jazz Singer. And he has the distinction of winning the first ever Razzie for the worst actor, which he won for The Jazz Singer. And interestingly, his co-star, Laurence Olivier, he also won a Razzie for Worst Supporting Actor. But the same year, Neil Diamond was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Actor. So there you go. He didn't win that, mind. Anyway, this song is the title track from Neil Diamond's 2009 Christmas album. They'd already had two Christmas albums before then. In 1992, he had his Christmas album. In 1994, he had his Christmas album Volume 2. And there was another one that followed on from this in 2016. That was Neil Diamond's acoustic Christmas album. This one is called Cherry Cherry Christmas. And the title track is the song I want to talk about today. I'm going to play a bit of it for you now. Here it comes.
Wish you a very merry cherry, cherry Christmas, and a holly, holy holiday too. Underneath your tree, may there always be sounds of harmony, not a song sung blue, just a very merry cherry, cherry.
Now it's quite catchy. It is quite catchy. The whole concept of the song is pretty much Neil Diamond wanted to write another Christmas song and he wanted to shoehorn as many titles as he could of songs that he's written. I counted 9. Then I went online and another guy had put one extra one, which was just the song called Bee. B-E, not the buzzy bee. Which I sort of thought, well, yeah, a bit of a cheeky one, that one, but, you know. So, yeah, maybe there's 10 songs in there. These are the ones I've found. You've got Cherry Cherry, Holly Holy, Song Sung Blue, Pretty Amazing Grace, If You Know What I Mean, I'm a Believer, Red Red Wine, Sweet Caroline, and also there's a bit in it where it goes, So Good, So Good, So Good, which is from Sweet Caroline. And It's a Beautiful Noise. So all 9 of those song titles he's managed to squeeze into the lyrics there.
Cherry, cherry, holly, holly, song sung blue, pretty amazing grace, if you know what I mean, I'm a believer, red, red wine, sweet Caroline, so good. It's a beautiful noise.
Yeah, like I said, it's a catchy song and I kind of like it. He was in an interview and he said, I thought it might be fun, a little novelty, just to squeeze in a bunch of my familiar titles as part of the story. I thought it'd be just fun and games, but it took me 3 or 4 months. And it's all right, you know, I quite like it. I don't see myself adding it really to my Christmas playlist. Maybe I will, because it's a novelty and because I like Neil Diamond so much. But the video... Ooh, the video, dear me, it's just cringe. He's there singing with his band and there's a bunch of little kids sat around just sort of watching in awe of him singing. Like, it's all sort of like in a soundstage, I guess. And he gets up and he's sort of like holding hands with this little girl and walking along with her. And then he gives her a little half hug and she walks off. And for the rest of the song, it's sort of him stood there singing. And then at the end, all the kids come around and they're sort of stood in a circle holding hands. And I don't know, it just was just so bad and so cheesy that it ruined the song for me. If I hadn't seen that video until I'd heard the song a few times, I think I'd like the song a lot more. But because I saw that video at the start, it just tainted it. Like, I've already used the word tainted. I'm using it again. That's how broad my vocabulary is. Yes. So, sadly, that's how I feel about it. But then I find myself singing it a lot.
In a world of make-believe, I'm a believer. A believer's sometimes all misunderstood. But the things you feel make believing real. That's why Christmas feels so good, so good, so good.
So that's pretty much it. You know, I don't know if you were aware of this song. I wasn't aware of it until a week ago when I first started doing a bit of research. I was just looking for random Christmas songs and this one popped up. I'm surprised I've never heard of it. I don't know if it got much airplay in the UK. I can tell you that it got to number 4 on the US adult chart. I don't know what that means. It's like adult music. What's that? What's adult as in adult and they're running around naked buying singles? Is that what it means by adult? Or does it mean just grown-ups are buying records? Because grown-ups are buying all records in all genres and categories. I don't know how they do. There seems to be a lot of different charts out there. At least in the UK, we just got one chart. That's your chart. Actually, that's not true. Because in the UK, we had the indie chart. I don't know what I'm talking about, do I? And it got to number 32 in the Canada adult chart as well. So it did all right. The album itself that this was taken from, Cherry Cherry Christmas, a bit cheeky really, because it was actually made up of 9 songs that he'd had on his previous you remember I mentioned the Christmas album Volume 2? 9 of the songs on this album were from those 2 previous albums, and then he's got 5 new ones on there, and he also did a version of Adam Sandler's The Hanukkah Song. Yeah. So other titles on there, you've got like Sleigh Ride, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, White Christmas, The Christmas Song, Deck the Halls, Jingle Bell Rock. That's the album, and I told you about the single. Is that it? I think it is. Yeah, okay, right, well, let's just do something else then, shall we? Off you go. Go on.
Cherry Christmas, everyone!
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Bob's back, boys and girls. And he's got another great idea on how you can keep Christmas alive all year long. Take it away, Bob.
Thanks, Jack. I am used to dealing in words. In fact, if you consider my other segment, I think about words all the time. The irony with today's suggestion is that I didn't see it right away. One day, I was in my bedroom and noticed a framed print on the wall with the courtroom speech from the 1947 film Miracle on 34th Street. And I realize that I wake up every morning with the conviction that faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. Then I thought about how, in our family room, we have a wood sign above the fireplace proclaiming that it's a wonderful life. And in the Christmas closet that I talked about in episode 74, where I get dressed every day, I have another piece of art quoting the Grinch and how Christmas doesn't come from a store and perhaps means a little bit more. So suddenly, I recognized that I was surrounded by Christmas sentiment throughout my house. Decorating with words is a nuanced means to express and reflect the holiday throughout the year. And it is so nuanced that I didn't notice it. So these phrases are making a subliminal statement whenever you or your guests are viewing them. Word art is such an ideal and subtle way to enjoy a soulful slice of Christmas every day. Now, if you have a suggestion on how to capture a festive daily dose, let Jack know and we will share it here.
Yeah, that's another good one. Do you know, I haven't got any word art at all up in our house. We've got a few pictures up, as you do, but we haven't got any word art at all. And we should. Yeah. Good one, Bob. I like that a lot. If you've got anything you want to share with us, sort yourself out. Send us an email. Don't just sit there going, oh yeah, well maybe I'll do that. Do it. Do it now. Because I love you. Now it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
I've done a lot of versions of A Christmas Carol. I've done loads. You know that, I know that. Here's the thing. Usually, if it's like a TV show where they're doing a version of A Christmas Carol and putting their own twist on it, I normally think they're a little bit naff. I might not necessarily state that out loud, but inside I'm thinking it. This one, however, I really did like. It's from Highway to Heaven. Do you remember Highway to Heaven? Michael Landon played an angel. Remember that? Remember that show? Remember that show? Do you remember that show? Do you remember that show? It's series 1, episode 13. This was first shown on the 19th of December, 1984. If you're not familiar with Highway to Heaven, let me tell you a little bit about it. You've got Michael Landon. Do you remember Michael Landon? He played Little Joe in Bonanza and some bloke in Little House on the Prairie. Very handsome man. I'll give him that. He's a very handsome man, without a shadow of a doubt. So he plays Angel, who's on probation. And you've got Victor French, who was also his co-star in some episodes of Little House on the Prairie and on Bonanza. Yeah, he is like a retired police officer. On the first ever episode, Victor French's character, whose name is Mark, he's driving along and he sees this bloke walking along, gives him a lift. Turns out the bloke's an angel, innit? And they start going around righting wrongs together. Yeah, Highway to Heaven, it was 111 episodes it ran for, and it started in September 84, ending in August 89. And, you know, Michael Landon actually came up with the idea for the show himself. So it was created by him. He was also one of the executive producers. And he directed more episodes than anyone else. And the person who directed the second highest amount of episodes was Victor French, would you believe? So they both had a go at directing it. Yeah, good for you, boys. Good for you. Anyway, that's the premise, you know. You got an angel down on earth, he's trying to earn his wings, bit like Clarence, but won't lie to you, so much better looking. And the head of hair on the man, I'm not kidding, I'm watching it thinking, that's got to be a wig, that has got to be a wig. Looked it up, no, he dyed his hair, never wore a wig. I'm not kidding, it's just so luxurious. You just want to run your fingers through it and go, oh, Michael Landon, oh, Michael Landon. You don't, I don't want to do that really, but I can understand why people would want to do that. Anyway, this episode is called A Song for Another Christmas, and it starts off, this is not part of it at all, it's just the intro to it. So you've got the bit at the start, which is on every episode, where Michael Landon's walking along, gets picked up by his mate. Then it's like, it's just showing Christmas decorations. And what was interesting about these Christmas decorations is that they look exactly like the spaceship that Superman escaped Krypton in the 1978 Superman the movie. And look, they just look, well, I say just like it. They look a lot like it. I don't know if there's any significance behind that, but I noticed it. Anyway, into the episode, and so I should have said Michael Landon's character is called Jonathan Smith. We're going to refer to him as John, and Victor French's character is called Mark. We're going to refer to him as Mark. So they're driving down the road, and we establish that it's Christmas Eve, and Victor French, so Mark is sort of saying, oh, we'll get the day off tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, as they're driving along, the car does like this big handbrake turn, and Mark's like, oh, I hate it when you do that. And John goes, I didn't do it, the boss did it, because that's what he calls God. God's the boss. And so they turn around on the road and they start driving back in the other direction, and they come into this town, and this is where it cuts to this car dealership called Honest Eddie's. Now, Honest Eddie, this is interesting. And when I say interesting, I think it is. Originally, Michael Landon asked William Shatner to play the character of Honest Eddie, and he liked the idea of it because William Shatner was always playing a hero. He thought, oh, it'd be a bit funny to play like a bit of a bad guy, but there were scheduling conflicts, so he couldn't do it, and instead they had to get in Jeffrey Lewis. Now, if you're not familiar with Jeffrey Lewis, I imagine you've definitely seen him in something, because he was in everything. He had guest star shots in pretty much any show, it seemed, in the 80s, or any show you've heard of. And he also, this is what I recognised him from first, right? He also played Clint Eastwood's brother, Orville, in Any Which Way You Can and Every Which Way But Lose. Do you remember that one? Where Clint Eastwood is like the bare-knuckle fighter, and he's got a pet orangutan. Well, it's a pet, they're mates, really, it seems. Yeah. Jeffrey Lewis played his brother Orv. Anyway, he's like honest Eddie at this car dealership, and it starts off with this old couple buying this car, but they can't afford the payment. And so honest Eddie, he offers to do the financing for them because he knows that they can't pay. And he explains to his salesman that, you know, if they can't make the payments, they get the car back, they repossess it, they've got all the cash, and they can sell it on again. But he also knows that it's a real junker, like a useless car. But anyway, he sells it to them, right? Then honest Eddie is talking to his mechanic, and his mechanic, whose name is Dave Ratchet, get that? Bit like Cratchit. Yeah, and not just a bit like Cratchit, also Ratchet, mechanic, spanner, Ratchet. Hey? Yeah, clever. So he's just started working for honest Eddie, right? But he wants an advance, because obviously he's been out of work for a while. And honest Eddie's like, yeah, I'll give you an advance if you come and clock a load of these motors for us, Bush. He doesn't say it like that, because he's not a Cockney. He says, you know, we're just going to wind back the odometers a bit. And Dave Ratchet's like, I can't do that. I'm an honest man. I cannot do that. And then honest Eddie's like, that's fine, you're sacked. And he sacks him. And that's not very nice on Christmas Eve. So he walks off, as you would if you've been sacked. You're not going to hang around, are you? Anyway, then up comes a chap called Millard Watkins. And his character is sort of like the portly gentleman. He comes up and he's asking for a donation for the orphanage. And of course, honest Eddie tells him to sling his hook. But he doesn't say sling his hook because he's not a Cockney. But he does tell him to go away and he don't give him any money. Then John and Mark turn up and honest Eddie tries to sell him a car. I'll play it a bit for you, actually.
Morning to you, friends. What can I do for you?
We're really just looking around, thanks.
Well, couldn't do better than this little machine you're standing right next to here.
Would you believe that this only has 30,000 miles on it?
No.
What?
No, I wouldn't believe you. I'd say it had 153,000 miles on it.
Well, you'd be just as wrong as you could be. All you've got to do is check that odometer. This little honey has been babied every step of the way.
Been in two wrecks.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
What is this? You guys from the police or the Better Business Bureau?
No, we're not from either.
Then get off my lot.
That's pretty much it. And then they go, then they walk off. They go for a walk. And Mark is complaining that they've been walking for hours, right? And who should they bump into but John's mate, Chris. Chris, dressed as Santa Claus. Turns out this is the real Santa Claus, Chris Kringle. That's his name. It's got nothing to do with the episode, but he's there nonetheless. So well done for that. Then, right, as they're walking along, who do they see? It's Bob Ratchet. Not Bob Ratchet, Dave Ratchet. Trying to break into the toy shop. So here's the thing. He won't, like, turn back the odometer, or mileometer, whatever you call it, on a few motors, because it's dishonest. Instead, he'd rather try and break into a toy shop and nick a load of toys. I mean, I don't know which is worse, but still, he's meant to be an honest guy. And anyway, John comes over, and John sort of pretends that he thinks that Dave Ratchet is the shop owner. He's like, oh, you're just locking up, wanted to buy some presents. And Dave Ratchet's like, oh yeah, sorry, locking up. And he leaves. He's like, oh, God, good job I didn't break in, would have been in trouble. And Michael Landon says, oh, but you'll be open tomorrow, I can come back then. And he says, yeah. And I thought, Christmas Day, is that right? In the 80s, was toy shops open on Christmas? I don't know. Anyway, then they're back at the hotel, and Mark is reading A Christmas Carol. Actually, John is, but then he lets Mark read it. And I thought this was a little bit interesting, because it says in clear letters on it, illustrated by Arthur Rackman. And Arthur Rackman was the guy that did some very famous pictures for the book after the original, which was John Leech. So this was the Arthur Rackman. It's just something I spotted. Anyway, then we cut to Eddie's house. And Eddie's butler asks Eddie if he can have Christmas Day off. And I really like this, because it's a direct quote. Listen to this.
Then, would it be all right, sir, if I took the rest of the evening off?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll see you in the morning.
In the morning, sir?
Yes. What are you, parrot?
But tomorrow's Christmas.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I like that. Anyway, then Eddie is watching TV. He's asleep, actually, but he's left the TV on. But who should appear on the TV? But John, our angel. So Eddie turns it off, but then John appears in his room. So Eddie's like, oh dear, tries to do a runner, the doors are locked, you can't open the door, oh no. And then John says, look, this is what's going to happen, man. Stuff's going to happen. Now you can open the door. Eddie opens the door, where should he be but in his childhood home when he lived with his grandmother. And his grandmother, it's funny, I thought, I sort of recognise her. Do I recognise her? She's an actress by the name of Herta Ware, and she played Rosie in Cocoon. Now, I don't know if you remember Cocoon. If you've even watched it, I don't know. But her character died in it, and her husband's like got her in the swimming pool, hoping it'll rejuvenate her, bring her back to life. It didn't work, sadly. So in Eddie's past, it turns out that he was very, very poor. It's quite funny, actually, because there's a bit where John's like, well, you were happy, weren't you? Look at the kids' faces. And then it cuts a bit later to the kids' faces. They don't look very happy. They look pretty bored, where they all stood around while Grandpa is playing Christmas carols on his harmonica. But then Eddie's gran brings him out a lovely new bike. Eh? Nice. I say new, it might be secondhand, I can't remember. But anyway, the point here is they were very poor, but Eddie was happy and his nan was a delightful lady. So then he starts to fade out. He's like, what's happening? Where am I going? He fades back in his own car with Mark. And now it's the Ghost of Christmas Present. So now it's Mark, right? And the car like flies up in the air. Play a little bit of his reaction to that. And they go to the orphanage. We see Eddie's lawyer is at the orphanage. Now, get this. Didn't know this, did you? Eddie owns the lease on the orphanage. And because the orphanage is having trouble paying their rent, they're going to kick them all out. And he wants them all out. And it's Christmas Day. The lawyer is there on Christmas Day. Yeah, so he's going to kick out all these kids from the orphanage because he wants to build an even bigger car lot on it. But then we find out that the lawyer is actually sort of on the side of the orphanage, because it begins off, it looks like he's like a real hard ass. But then he's like, look, I couldn't agree with you more. Honest Eddie is an arsehole. He doesn't use those words, but we're all thinking it. And he says, look, here's the address. Go around and see him. Eddie is not happy with this. He's like, you don't get given out my address. What is this? But because they can't see him, it's having no effect. Then they go to Dave Ratchet's house, and Tiny Tim, whose name is in this is Bobby, Tiny Bobby as he likes to be known, he is in a wheelchair, and the kids have only got like one present each, and the dad's apologising saying, oh, it's not much, kids, but you know, but they all seem very happy. But then Dave goes off and he's crying, and then Bobby wheels himself in, going, what's up, daddy, don't cry, you know. And we see how much love there is in the house. And then Mark tells Eddie Bobby's going to die if you don't get the operation, which they can't afford. Then it fades to the graveyard, and we've got the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And this time it's John again. And all we get in this scene is John's like, yeah, listen to these blokes here. And there's a couple of grave diggers, and they're digging a grave, and they're talking about how no one liked the bloke whose grave... I'll play a bit of it for you. Here you go.
Did you ever see a funeral like that in your life?
No, I can't say as I have. Not a soul here but the preacher.
Yeah, I guess the guy didn't have any family.
Yeah, but no friends. I mean, you think the guy would have some friends to show up at his funeral?
Guy like that, you can't help feeling sorry for him, you know?
Well, he wasn't exactly poor. I mean, that headstone cost a few bucks.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then John says, yeah, have a look whose grave it is. Who do you reckon's grave? Well, we know whose grave it is, don't we, of course. He has a look at it, and it's got his name on it. Eddie's name, yeah, Honest Eddie. And it also says he died in 1986, which means he's got 2 years to go. Two more years of glory, and then he's out. But that's when Eddie wakes up, and then the butler comes in with his breakfast, and he's like, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You should be at home with the family. It's Christmas Day. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. And then he shouts out to this boy in the street, here, boy in the street, what day is it? And the boy goes, Walker. Doesn't happen. Okay, that was in my dream, that bit was. I dreamt that bit. I was very happy. And he sends the butler home and gives him a raise, which is nice. Then who should turn up but Millard Watkins, you know, remember, chap from the orphanage, because he's been given the address by the lawyer. And Eddie, who's obviously a changed man, is like, well, I've told you, we're going to knock down the orphanage. And he's like, but I thought you'd change your mind. And he's like, no, we're knocking down the orphanage and we're going to build a new one. Here, have a check for $250,000. Actually, no, make it $350,000. Actually, make it a cool $500,000. And he gives him a check for $500,000, which is very, very nice. A very generous Christmas gift. Then Eddie's in his car, he's driving down the road. Who should he drive past but the lovely old couple? Do you remember from the start of the episode that couldn't afford the financing? They're there with a car and all that black smoke's billowing out of the back of it. Eddie pulls up and they're like, "Oh, you ripped us off with this car." And he's like, "Well, you're right, I did. I can't lie to you, I'm honest Eddie. How about you have my car? Let's do a straight swap." And he swaps his car for their car, which is lovely. And so he drives off in this old banger with all the black smoke billowing out the back. He goes to the toy shop. Who should be there? John and Mark. Eddie has just bought loads and loads of toys, puts them in the back of his car. Oh my life, the car won't start. He comes up to John and Mark. He's like, "Hey, I remember you two from my dream last night." And Mark's like, "Hang on. Oh, did that happen?" Because Mark was asleep when it all happened, you see. So in his dream, I don't know. Anyway, they're like, "Oh, we'll give you a lift." So they give him a lift round to Ratchet's house. And he gives all the presents to the kids. And then he says to Bobby, I've got another gift for you. If you fancy, we could, me, you and your whole family, head down to Texas. And there's a hospital there where you could have the operation that you need. And I won't lie to you, boys and girls, I started to well up. I did, yeah. I started to get a bit choked. I don't know, I watched it twice. Both times started to get a bit choked. Yeah, thinking about it now, to be honest, I'm getting a bit choked talking about it. And that's nice. And then he says this bit to Bobby. He says, "Well, there's something you could do for me, actually. I haven't got any kids of my own, and really by now I should be having grandkids. And I was wondering if maybe when you get better, maybe I could come around occasionally and we could throw the ball around together." And I thought that was really nice, and that got me a bit more choked again, yeah. And then the Ratchets invite Eddie to stay for dinner, and suddenly John and Mark have disappeared, and that is the end of the episode. And I gotta say, I really did enjoy it. Now, TV back in the 80s was a bit more lightweight. You know, when you're watching it, the acting's not quite so good, the realism is not there, but I really did enjoy this episode. It was really nice, took me back. I used to watch a bit of Highway to Heaven. I wasn't an avid viewer, but I did always enjoy it when I watched it. But this episode, I really did like. So I recommend that you go and check it out. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it. Now, just one thing I want to say about Highway to Heaven. In an early episode, John tells Mark not to smoke because Mark's character is a heavy smoker. And it turns out, we find out in later episodes, that his character, when he was alive, before he died and became an angel, his name was Arthur Thompson, and he died from lung cancer. And that's why he was telling his mate not to smoke. And then in the finale, John shows Mark the year 2018, and Mark's still alive, and he'd lived a long time because he quit smoking. Now, the sad fact is, before the last episodes were aired from Series 5 in 1989, Victor French had already died. And he died of lung cancer. He died at the age of 54, and he died in 1989, which is really sad. But here's the thing. Him and Michael Landon were both very heavy smokers. And Michael Landon, he quit smoking after his friend died. But only 2 years later, also at the age of 54, Michael Landon died from pancreatic and liver cancer. Now, they were also both heavy drinkers, and I'm guessing maybe that had something to do with it. But yeah, I thought that was quite poignant. Yeah. Well, that's brought the mood down, hasn't it? Yeah, sorry about that. I'm beginning to wish I'd done Joke of the Week now, after this segment, to lift the spirits up again. But to be honest, you remember how bad the joke was, so it wouldn't have done anything, would it? Anyway, that is this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, Highway to Heaven, A Song for Another Christmas. I really enjoyed it, and I think you should check it out. Of course, I will put a link in the show notes and on Facebook, so if you want to watch it, it's 45 minutes of your life that I think you'll be glad you spent on it. Or not, I don't know. People differ. Let's move on. Unfortunately, I don't have a recommendation for you this episode. I've listened to a few new podcasts and none of them have really been doing it for me, to be honest. So maybe you could send me your recommendations of podcasts that you listen to. Obviously, you'll be recommending the Total Christmas podcast. I've heard it's very good. So, sadly, no recommendations. So, yeah, that's the end of the episode, I guess. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got any stories you want to share, or if you want to just berate me for being naff, I'm doing my best. Yeah, the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Or you can go on the website, which, do you know what, I think it's well over 2 years now. He says, oh, do you know something else, actually? Interesting fact. I had my third year anniversary about, I think it was the start of this month. My first ever episode came out on the 6th of April in 2020. So it's been 3 years now. Yeah, of me doing this. I didn't bother mentioning it because, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it? Right, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Christmas!
Now I have a machine gun. Oh, oh.